This one verse we read as our scripture reading. If you don't know the sin of David, if somebody set out to break as many of the Ten Commandments in one course of events, I don't know if somebody could succeed more than David did in adultery and covetousness and lust and trying to cover up his sin with lies and false witness and murder. And the whole course of events that went on in David's life in his sin, and then to be confronted by the prophet and have the prophet of God say, "Thou art the man," to tell him what he did, to tell him why he was wrong, and tell him why God thought he was wrong, and to confront him with his sin, and then to have him write these verses. I was talking to somebody, we were talking about life verses, verses that describe, if you take one verse out of the Bible and say, that's my verse, if I signed my name, I'd write this verse. And this, they said, this is my secret life verse. This is the one that applies the most to me, but I don't like to tell everybody because it's not fun to tell people you need God to create a clean heart, renew a right spirit. And it might be because of sin that this storm that David was going through was of his own doing, his own creation. But sometimes we can fall into similar sins or similar consequences. Maybe not the same gross sins from the Ten Commandments, but a sin of doubt, a sin of worry, a sin of not trusting God with all of our heart, of leaning to our own understanding, the sin of the you should know better, the sins that we should know better that we commit, our besetting sin or the weights that easily beset us. And David was there. He was confessing what he had done and asking God to do something for him. Only God could create that clean heart. In Proverbs it says, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin." No one can say that about themselves, but God can create a clean heart within us. No one can make their heart clean without a work of God. And only those blinded by the darkness of sin would say, "I'm not so bad." I've said it before, but if you look at a messy situation, you dim the lights way down low, and you get kind of this romantic mood lighting, it doesn't look as bad as it really is. But when you turn all the lights up bright, you can see how dirty it really is. And the truth of God's word is the same thing. When we apply the truth of God's word to our life, we all need a clean heart. We all have stumbled. We all need a right spirit. Whether we did, committed a great transgression or just what we would say is a little one, telling a lie, not trusting in God, not being honest with ourselves or being honest with others. This is a verse of renewal. One thing I like about Sundays now is it's trash day. I like to take out the trash. I don't like taking out the trash, but I like getting rid of the trash. And we always, I try to take the responsibility. Hopefully I'll get a kid old enough soon enough that he can do it for me. But I like trash day. I like getting rid of the trash. And this verse reminds me every now and then it's time to take out the trash. It's time to take out the doubt. It's time to take out the sin. It's time to take out the trusting in ourselves instead of trusting in God and say, I need to clean up again. I need a clean heart. In each of our lives, hopefully none of us could go through the Ten Commandments and check them all off as David did, but we do have times in our life where we need to say, I've leaned on my own understanding. I'm trusting something other than God for my day-to-day living. I'm not asking for my daily bread. I'm not asking for forgiveness. I'm not asking to forgive other people. And if we're not careful, we will fall into the same trap where David was. Earlier in Psalm 51, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." I mentioned some of the Ten Commandments, but one of them that I think David broke was taking God's name in vain. He was a ruler. He was a minister of God's power. He was called by God, and he was God's servant, and he used the name of God to commit the sin in his power. He used God's name to commit that sin, and he told God, "Against you have I sinned. I haven't sinned against Bathsheba or Uriah or Nathan the prophet or the nation of Israel. I sinned against God. God's the one that I sinned against, and God's the one that had to forgive him." God is able to create that clean heart. God is the only one that can do that, And he is able. I think we talked about it this morning. I tell you, sometimes when I sing the invitation, I try to look through Dad's notes and see if we're going to preach on the same thing or not. And I know Dad talked about a few of the Old Testament Bible stories, that God is able to deliver us. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was with Moses. He was with David when he faced Goliath, with Daniel when he was in the lion's den. And over again, we know God is able. I like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. They said, our God is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, it's not going to change anything. We're not going to change what we're going to do based on whether or not God is delivering us. We know he's able to. If he wants to, he'll deliver us. And we know that God is able to create that clean heart within us. In Jude, it says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. We want a clean heart, and we need one every now and then. Every now and then we need to take the trash out, and like I said, we need to acknowledge where we failed and say, I need a clean heart. We need forgiveness from God, and God's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can renew that right spirit. God is able to create. God is able to, number two, to renew and to repair, to make it better again, to make it like it was before. Brother Jack just talked about that joy of his salvation. Knowing what it was and getting it back. For it is God. In Philippians it says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. To be a right spirit, properly aligned, like a compass that points north, or a ruler that measures 12 inches in a foot. And David was saying, make me useful again. Right now I'm useless. I've sinned against God. I've sinned. I've broken all his commandments. My sin is ever before me. And David said, I want to be right again. I want a right spirit so I can be useful. I want to be of use to God, properly aligned with the word of God, aligned with the command of God. He wanted to be useful. God is able to create. He's the only one that can. If you've got a problem with Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, you're going to have to struggle with the rest of the Bible, because God's the only one that can create it. And if we don't get that straight, then we're going to struggle our whole life and say, God, I need a new heart. I need a new spirit. I need a renewed spirit. So God can create. He's the only one that can. God is the only one that's able to renew and to repair us, number two. And number three, God is able to reuse and refill us. This is my other confession about trash day. Someone called me a closeted conservationist. I love to recycle, but sometimes I don't share it with a lot of people, because some people around, not just around here, but some people I have found are very anti-recycling. They like to throw everything in the trash. Don't rinse any bottles out. Don't set anything aside. Just put it all in the trash and let the garbage man deal with it. But I like to sneak around behind people and rinse out the bottles and sort the paper and the plastic. It just makes me feel good, and it doesn't hurt anybody. I like to reuse things, and if there's some use out of it. Now, I know some of you do this as well, because if you get those butter containers, or if you go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, you reuse those packages. Say, that's perfectly good. I don't need to throw it away. And God is a reuser and a refiller. And God can use us again. He renews our right spirit. He repairs our spirit. And he refills us. Cast me not away from thy presence. Don't throw me away. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Our prayer should be the same thing. God, keep me close. Keep me in your presence. You know, those things that we say, well, I can use that again. I'm not going to throw that away from me. I'm going to use it again. I can clean it up and use it again. God, clean me up. Use me again. I want to be reused for your glory. We use those tools that are closest to us. The tool or the thing that is available, that's what gets used. You know, that's why the people that work around here, they know that. They just find something and use it. It's not going to be the best, and you can probably find something better at the store, but this is what we got, so let's use it. And the person that's available is the one that gets used. And David prayed. He said, don't cast me from your presence. I want to stay close to you. I want to be usable. God is able to reuse us and to refill us. There's David when he said to his brothers, before he fought Goliath, he said, is there not a cause? And maybe in the course of his sin, he had lost sight of that cause of standing for God, of standing for what he knew to be true, what he knew to be right. But the cause was still there. There were still enemies that God needed David to fight. There were still psalms that God needed David to write. There was still an example that God needed David to be. And David said, I need to be reused. I need to be refilled. The same is true for us. We might still get discouraged every now and then. We might be a little off on a day or two, and we might forget, or we might not see the same urgency in telling people about Jesus and telling people that hell's still real, the devil's still pursuing lost people, trying to keep them out of heaven. And those things are all still true. There is still a cause, and we do still have something we need to be fighting for. David showed godly courage. When God called him, he was a man after his own heart. David still wrote Psalms, and God did not destroy him. God did not throw him away. And David said, keep me in your presence. Keep me close. Use me again. Use me again. Over and over again, the Bible talks about people being ready to be used. Another psalmist wrote in Psalm 45, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And I think about that for myself. Am I ready if God said, I need to use somebody, you're the only one around, I'll use you. Are we ready? Are we close to God? Are we ready to be used? Are we prepared to be used by God? Because he's the one that refills us. He's the one that realigns us and reuses us. And he's the one that can renew us and make us right with him. And number four, God is able to restore both our joy and our usefulness. The word that it uses in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Talks about to break it again, to be broken, and say it's not healing right. Almost resetting a broken arm or a leg and say something's not right. And what David was praying, he said, whatever it takes to restore the joy of my salvation. Brother Wayne played that song, I think, and the ladies played for the offertory. Whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. Whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain, that's what I'll be willing to do. Whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. And again, and in Psalm 139, David wrote, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And over again, God is the one that uses us. God is the one that created our heart in the first place. He's the only one that can create a clean heart. God is the one that restores us and refills us and realigns us. And that joy comes from God. And whenever the Bible talks about joy, there's an action involved. It talks about in Ecclesiastes, God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. So that wisdom, using the knowledge that God has given you. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus said, I'm giving you this information so you can win other people, so you can go and tell others, so your joy will be full. He that sows in tears shall reap in joy, the action of sowing and reaping. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And David said, I want the joy restored, and he wanted it restored in the action of doing, of restoring that joy because of the things that he was doing to serve God. If God is able, and this is the whole outline, if God is able to create, and God is able to renew and repair us, and God is able to reuse and refill us, and God is able to restore both our joy, which is us, on our service to God, those things that we do to serve God when he gives us the joy of our heart, and he's able to restore that in our usefulness. If God is willing to do all that, then the last verse here, in verse 13, if he's willing to do all that, we must be willing to do what David said in verse 13 of Psalm 51. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. If God is able to make us useful again, we have to be willing to say, I'm willing to tell other people what God has done for me. Teach transgressors thy ways. Lead somebody down that road. Lead somebody down that path or that way and say, this is where God has brought me. A teacher that walks with a student and tells them, this is where God has led me. This is where I stumbled. This is where God has used me. As an expression of gratitude, David, to God, as a result of his painful experience, he would teach them. He would show transgressors God's ways. He would show from his experience the bitterness of sin, the evil of sin. He would show them the consequence of sin. He would show them the nature of true repentance, of saying God can still use you if you will confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. He would encourage them to come to the same God that had forgiven him. And then in the next couple verses, it says, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." David said, I could get the outside fixed. I could fix my outer appearance, but I know that's not what God wants. He wants a broken and contrite heart. God wants something that he can break and fix and renew. He wants something he can use. He wants somebody that's willing to be broken and restored and brought out of alignment and realigned. He wants somebody that says, I'm destroyed, I need to be created. I'm broken down, I need to be renewed. I'm not what I should be, I need to be repaired. I'm full of the wrong things. I'm full of sin, of doubt, of despair, of depression, of lust, of covetousness, of murder, of whatever it is that separates us from serving God. I'm full of those things. I need to be emptied out so God can fill me up with his Spirit. If God is willing to do all that, then we must be willing to teach other people. We must be willing to tell people where we've been and what God has done for us. So our prayer tonight, I know my prayer is, I know why I need trash day and why I need to ask God to create a clean heart in me, because I want to stay useful. I want to stay close enough to the truth of God's word that I always need to be cleaned up, that it's never what it should be, that the truth of God's word shines a light on my life, and I need again and again to say, that shouldn't be there, that should be gone. I need a clean heart, I need a renewed, a right spirit. I need God to reuse and refill and restore what is missing in my life so I can be useful to him, so God can use me to teach others. If God is able, and we say that he is, and we should know that he is, if God is able, we should be willing to teach and to convert others and show them the paths of righteousness, lead them in the way of confession and making things right with God. I think that's why we're still here. That's what God has left us to do, not to find out who the worst sinner is, but to lead everybody to the truth of God. Not to say, well, I'm not dealing with that kind of person, I'll only talk to this kind of person, but to say, no, I'm going to find the people that need God, and that's everybody. I'm going to lead them in the paths of righteousness. So that's my invitation to everybody tonight. Let's pray. We'll have a word of prayer, and we'll have an invitation. Thank you for listening to me tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for creating a clean heart within us, Lord. Thank you for over and over again, Lord, we come back and say, I messed up again. I filled up with the wrong things. I've focused on my doubts and my fears. I've focused on where I failed instead of looking at what God has done in my life. I focused on myself instead of focusing on Christ. I pray, Lord, you would create that clean heart within each of us tonight. As we go out this week, invite people to church, as we go out and try to be a witness for you, that we wouldn't have no sin in the way, we'd have no doubt or fears in the way, that we'd be trusting you completely in all of our ways, acknowledging you and knowing that you're directing our paths. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us Jesus to be our Savior. Lord, if there's one here that's never made that decision to trust Christ, knows for sure that heaven is their home, I pray, Lord, you help them in the next couple minutes to come and learn from God's word so they won't have to live in doubt and fear, but can live in restored, renewed joy that only comes from you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us a church family to share our love with one another. I ask you to bless this invitation and all that goes on. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.